I'd like to say what an honor this is to be asked to speak at Range Beef Cow. I came to my first Range Beef Cow Symposium when I was 12 years old, and I was able to talk to Temple Grandin and ask her some questions, and I still use some of the information that I gathered from her at home today. Like they said, my name is Chad Blair. Along with my dad, Ed, Uncle Rich, cousin Britton, and our wives, we operate Blair Brothers Angus Ranch in western South Dakota. We currently run... We currently run around 1,200 mother cows and 400 to 500 replacement heifers that all get AI'd over two cycles. We sell between 350 and 500 Angus bulls annually, private treaty off the ranch, and run around 2,000 head of yearlings, mainly comprised of steers that we buy from bull customers and heifers that we buy from bull customers and rebreed and sell as bred heifers. I was asked to give a producer's perspective on reproductive technology, so I'm going to talk about some of the technologies that we've tried and still use, and some of the technologies that we've tried and no longer use, either because something better that came along or it just didn't work very well for us. I'm going to start with a timeline on AIing and work into other technologies that we've tried. In the mid-80s, we weren't able to find bulls to use on our heifers that we wanted to use. So in response to that, we started AIing them using the MGA protocol. This worked great and allowed us to get our heifers bred in a timely fashion and have calves that calved easy and were ultimately usable calves. What we were trying to do at that time was raise replacement heifers out of those heifers. We went along with this for quite a few years until Cedars came out. By this time, we'd noticed some inconsistent results with MGA. When we started using it, we were feeding it as a dry pellet and just top dressing it. And as we started raising more heifers and synchronizing more of them, we started mixing it in a feeder wagon and started getting inconsistent results. So we used the cedar when it came out. We used a 7-day cedar protocol on them at first. This one worked pretty good, and we went along for a few years. We were getting between 55 and 60% conception rate AI with this protocol, but we were running 20 to 25% opens. In 2002, we were in a drought situation, didn't have pasture for our heifers to be out on, so we kept them in the dry lot, and we noticed about 18 days after the prostaglandin shot, those heifers that didn't stake AI on the first cycle started coming back around fairly tightly. This taught us two things. One, we'd never had enough bulls turned out with those heifers to get that second cycle bred. And two, we could go ahead and AI that second cycle without much labor. From then on, we've bred second cycles on everything. We now use a 14-day cedar protocol on our heifers, mainly because we feel that it tightens up the second cycles tighter. So with that 7-day cedar protocol, we were heat detecting and breeding second cycles on heifers for about 14 days. With the 14-day cedar protocol, we're now heat detecting and pulling 20 to 30% of those heifers to breed in that second cycle in 7 to 10 days. This all results in a 75 to 77% conception rate AI on our heifers in 28 days. We do use KMAR heat detection aids on all of our first cycles. We don't do it on second cycles simply because we don't want to run them through the chute a second time, and heat detection and pulling those heifers out of the dry lot is pretty simple. We don't need to use them. I'll move on to cows. We started AIing cows in the early 90s. There weren't very many synchronization protocols at that time, at least not very many we wanted to use. So we heat detected on natural heats. We were only breeding about 300 cows AI at that time, but the natural heat detection was time-consuming and tedious. To be out there pulling heats every day, all day, for a month got pretty old. In 2003, our Select Sires representative got us to try the SelectSync protocol to synchronize cows, and this worked great. Allowed us to get those cows synchronized and bred, and then we could also breed second cycles on them. We went along with this for a few years, but we realized we needed to start heat detecting on them cows prior to day six to ensure that we were picking up all the cows that were in heat. So then we switched to seeders on cows in 2006 with the 7-day seeder heat detect and time breed protocol. We use this protocol on all of our larger groups of cows now. We AI all of our cows. And what this allows us to do is set up multiple groups of cows in the same week. We can pull seeders on a group of cows on one day, put seeders in a group of cows the next day, and so on, stacking breedings without having to heat detect in between. With this protocol, what's kind of interesting for us is we'll have a lot of wet twos that will run in one group, about 400 head of them. And with that 7-day seeder protocol, at 36 hours, we'll pull between 40 and 50% of them in heat to breed in the next 12 hours. And at 48 hours, we'll pull 20% of them. On older running age cows, we'll pull that 50% of them in heat at 48 hours versus 36 with the younger cows. It's just something interesting that I've noticed. The use of seeders allows us to set up multiple groups of cows in the same week, and versus the select sync protocol that was allowing we were having to heat detect in between the GNRH shot and the prostaglandin shot. With the use of seeders, we're now able to breed 3.5 times the amount of cows in roughly the same time that we were when we were heat detecting on natural heats, all with the same labor force that we had then. Second cycle cows. On our cows, I'll turn out bulls about 3 days after the time breeding day, and then I'll pull them bulls out about 18 days after the prostaglandin shot. And then we'll start heat detecting again for 7 days, pulling 20% of those cows and breeding them AI, resulting in a 77 to 87% conception rate AI in about 28 days. The range there is the younger cows are towards the 77 and the older cows are towards 90%. Another technology that we've used is ultrasound. In the mid-90s, the SDSU beef specialist in Rapid City was doing ultrasound at that time, and he would ultrasound our heifers. When he moved on to another job, we decided to buy our own machine and learn the technique. These first machines that we had were basically used machines out of hospitals. They were pretty expensive, not made to be chute side, and didn't last very long. We went through several machines like these. Nowadays, there are several companies making ultrasound machines for veterinarian use. We purchased an Ibex Pro because that's what my vet recommended, I guess. And the nice thing about it is it's water and dust resistant, and it's battery operated. And the great thing about battery operation is we can go out, set up portable Krells anywhere, anytime, and preg test. This is important to me because I do the preg testing, and I like to preg those first cycle fetuses when they're between 100 and 110 days. They get much over 120 days, they go over the pelvic rim, and it's a little harder to identify the exact age of them. Another nice thing of doing it at this time, it makes those second cycle fetuses in that 80-day range, which are also easy to identify. Just like on our cows, we turn out bulls in between cycles on heifers, and with the use of ultrasound, I can identify those 3% of cows that will short cycle and get bred in between the AI cycles. I can identify them with the ultrasound, mark the cows accordingly so those calves aren't considered AI calves at calving. We'll preg test our heifers in August. We'll pull the opens off that day that we preg test, send them to Kansas, put them on feed, and try to hit a harvest date in December when typically the choice select spread is the widest. We will preg test our cows in September when we give the calves preconditioning shots, and I will mark the cows with a hair dye. It's kind of a neat technology. We don't mark the first cycle cows. We mark second cycle cows with a mark on the shoulder and then third and fourth on the rib and hip and opens over the tail head. This mark will stay on them until they shed off in the spring so we can sort them into calving groups anytime that winter after we wean. At weaning time, I'll run these cows back in and sort off all the opens and bull breds, and I'll re-preg the opens, as we don't generally pull bulls until we preg test the first time. With the use of ultrasound at that time, I can identify these late May and early June calvers and market them as breds instead of weigh-ups, thus adding a lot of value. Our typical operating procedure is to sell all cows that are bull bred and keep all cows that stick AI. With the use of ultrasound a month or so before weaning, we can start making a plan on how to market these cows that are designated for sale and determine how many cows are going to calve in one place. So the question I get a lot is, if you breed all your cows in 1 or 2 days, will they calve in 1 or 2 days? The simple answer is no. It's been my experience from calving synchronized heifers and cows for over 2 decades that a synchronized group of heifers will calve for 22 days and a synchronized group of cows will calve for 32 days. Those are averages. We've calved out a cycle of heifers in as little as 18 days and a cycle of cows in as little as 20 days. We've had some big calving days, I guess. I look back in the data and biggest day I could find was 65 calves in a 24-hour period with 300 calves in a week and 400 calves in 10 days. We have used shorter gestation genetics in our cow herd since we started AIing and have shortened the gestation period of our cow herd by a little bit. Our heifers will start calving at 265 days of gestation, with the peak coming at 278 days. And between 273 and 283 days of gestation, 83% of those heifers will calve out. Cows will calve in a similar manner, with the peak at 279 days, and 75% of them calving in that same 10-day period as heifers. So cows will calve in a bell curve, with a few calves at the beginning and a few at the end, and the majority in between. The most we've had in one day on our cows is 17% of the group calve in a 24-hour period. But at the peak of calving, our cows will average 10% in a 24-hour period. So, for example, if you synchronize 100 cows, stick 75% of them AI in the first cycle, we'll expect to have 7 to 8 calves in the peak 24-hour period. Heifers, for some reason, will run a bit higher. I've had a peak of 16.6% of heifers calve in a 24-hour period, but overall they average 12% at the peak. So with 100 head of first cycle heifers that are all stuck AI in the first cycle, we'll expect to have around 12 calves in the 24-hour period peak. This is not a hard and fast rule, of course. It's just a guideline I use in figuring out how many cows to calve in one particular place. People are usually curious on how we calve heifers in northwest South Dakota in February. I have evolved our calving protocols on heifers over the past few years. What do we do now is run them in a stockade, feed them a balanced ration. At night, I run them into small pens next to the barns, and then when they start calving, I'll put them in the barns into 14-foot by 14-foot jockey pens. My goal is to have all of our heifers calve in the barn. This seems to work best for us, for those heifers to get their calves going and pair up well. My goal is to leave them in there for about 12 hours, but during the peak of calving, sometimes they're only in there for a few hours. We'll kick them out of the barns into pens of about 30 pair, and then the next morning or whenever it is, we'll kick them out on pasture into groups of about 200 pair. Seems to be about the right number for us to manage those heifer pairs. We'll start feeding these heifers a balanced ration on pasture about a month before they start calving, with a projected average daily gain of 0.7 pounds per day. We'll feed them this ration up until the middle of April, generally, and feed them just a grass alfalfa mix until they go to grass about the 10th of May. Before we started feeding these heifers a balanced ration, we could expect to have 50% of them breed back as 3-year-olds. Now, with proper nutrition and a slightly longer postpartum interval, we're able to get 65% of them to breed back AI in the first cycle and an additional 10% to breed back in the second cycle. So what if you're in the swing of calving and get in a blizzard? Well, this is where figuring out how many cows to calve in one particular place comes into effect. This is where I use my average amount of calves percentage. If you know to expect around 10% of your cows to calve in a 24-hour period, we can figure out how many cows, synchronized cows to calve in each facility. This is one of the things that synchronization of cows has done for me. It allows me to know how many calves and when I'm going to have them. The advantages to us in calving synchronized cows are numerous. Having a large group of calves all born in a short amount of time limits the amount of labor that I have to hire for calving. It allows us to calve a large group of heifers, move on to first cycle cows, and then second cycle cows without having to travel between ranches as much as if they were all calving at the same time. Another advantage to calving synchronized cows for us is having large groups of calves that are all similar age. Knowing that branding time and weaning time shots are administered in a timely fashion and setting those calves up for a healthy start is a pretty big deal. A final advantage is that when we're setting these cows up for breeding the next spring, synchronization response and ultimate breed up are very good. Another technology that we've tried is embryo transfer. 10 years ago, we started doing embryo transfer. My brother-in-law and I went to Kansas to school for it, came home, started flushing 25 to 30 cows every 60 days, freezing those embryos, and then putting them in recips in the spring. Our goal at this time was to increase numbers. We would put those embryos into purchased heifers and customer heifers. We didn't get the results we were hoping for with that. We were getting 25 to 35% conception with those embryos in those heifers. And some of the calves out of the purchased heifers were undesirable because they didn't have enough milk. Without much success in this system, we had a nationally known firm come in the spring and do fresh flushes. We'd do a fresh flush on 60 cows every spring and put those fresh embryos into young recipients. We had slightly better success with this system, but ultimately our goals for embryo transfer didn't align with the results that we got. We've had a lot better luck increasing numbers by keeping more replacement heifers and breeding that second cycle longer. One of the final technologies that we've tried just this last year was IVF, which is a technique of harvesting unfertilized eggs out of a donor cow, sending them to a lab, fertilizing them, growing them, and then freezing them. This was the first year we did it. I put some of these type of embryos into some mixed-age cows this spring with similar results of what I got with the collected embryos. I haven't done enough of these type of embryos to really give any good numbers on conception rates or anything like that. One of the real advantages I liked with the IVF versus embryo collection was the donor cows. I just had to run them in for a one-day session, pull the eggs out, kicked them back out with the herd, set them up to breed, and they bred right back with their contemporaries. Whereas regular embryo collection, when I brought the donor cows in, it was pretty labor-intensive for me to set them up. And then once I flushed them for a year, it was pretty hard to ever get them to acclimate back into the herd. In conclusion, there are numerous reproductive technologies that are available today. I hope I have conveyed that we are an operation that is willing to try new things, but ultimately the technologies that we use are ones that are most cost-effective and labor-friendly for our operation. Through AI, we have transitioned from a commercial herd just trying to breed better replacement heifers to a seed stock operation that's ranked in the top 30 in the nation for number of bulls marketed each year. The reproductive technologies that we have evolved to rely on have allowed us to expand numbers and increase the value of our cattle. Everything we use from AI to ultrasound and IVF increase the value of our cattle. This has allowed my cousin and I to come home to the ranch and succeed. If not for the technologies that we use, we would not have been able to expand our business and thrive for the next generation. Thank you.